A reading from the book of Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain of the land of Shinar. And they settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." They had brick for stone and bitum for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are the people. They are one people. And they have all one language. And that is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they have to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there, over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Helen. Thank you, thank you. So over the years, Ron and I have traveled to many places around the world, and all of them have contributed to my growing appreciation of the world and all of its complexity and beauty. And I am so grateful that we have had the opportunity to do that, the privilege of doing that over the years. But my most absolute favorite place is Italy. All the places that we've been, Italy. A culture rich in history, religion, art, and of course, delicious food and wine. From being in Rome and Vatican City, seeing so many of those gorgeous works of art from centuries past, to places like the Colosseum and the Catacombs, which have survived 2,000 or more years, to Tuscany with its amazing vineyards and wineries representing generations of cultivation and care, to Venice, a city built on more than 100 small little islands. No roads, just canals traveled by boat taxis and gondolas. I'm in love with it all, including the people. Their language is lyrical, beautifully melodious and musical. You don't even have to understand what they're saying to appreciate it. And as we have traveled there several times now, I have often thought about the master artisans and stonemasons, builders, artists, musicians that we, generations later, are still able to enjoy and appreciate through their gifted handiwork and legacy. Yes, Italy is a land rich in its history, religion, art, and culture, all of which have been built to last. So today we're continuing our sermon series on the kingdom of God within us and among us as we explore the question, what are we building? Will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we give you our thanks this day for the opportunity to come into this space, this holy and sacred space that we set apart from the rest of our week in a special way called worship. And we sing, and as we pray and as we listen for your word, we pray that you might speak to us today, and that the meditations of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. I received a text from James early this week. I think it was on Monday, and here's what he said. "Hey, Dr. D, what direction are you headed with the sermon this week about the Tower of Babel?" And my answer was, "Your guess is as good as mine." Seriously, it was a great question. I just wasn't ready to answer it yet because I needed some time this week to go through the week. But There are multiple, actually, interpretations of this old story from the Old Testament, Genesis. And I don't know if you're aware of that, but one of the interpretations, which Old Testament scholar Tyler Mayfield believes to be an unhelpful interpretation, is to contrast this ancient story with the Acts 2 story of Pentecost as somehow solving the problem of the Genesis story. Babel creates numerous languages in this interpretation. The people's languages are confused, so they don't understand each other. Pentecost, however, unifies these languages because the Spirit allows everybody to understand one language. But this traditional interpretation has some weaknesses. First of all, Mayfield suggests it misunderstands the Acts 2 story, which does not claim that the people's languages are unified, but rather notes that each person understands the good news proclamation in their own language. In Acts chapter 2, verse 8, someone says, "And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" And so the miracle of Pentecost is not in the speaking, but rather in the hearing. And right there is another sermon for another time, but it's coming. Second, Mayfield says, this interpretation falls into a common theological trap of finding a problem in the Old Testament and getting a solution in the New Testament. It implies that the Tower of Babel story can't stand on its own as an inspiring word, but needs Acts 2 to resolve the matter theologically. But here's the question. Do we always have to have a New Testament solution to every Old Testament problem? Because sometimes to do so would mean to miss the deeper meaning of the story. One of the questions that this story raises is how we think about diversity. Is diversity of language or culture or religion a problem that needs to be solved? It seems that the traditional interpretation of these passages takes that premise as a starting point. But is that what the story of the Tower of Babel is about? I mean, is diversity the result of divine punishment and due to the overabundance of human pride? Is that the moral to this story? Well, I don't know about you. I think I do. But I don't think that diversity that we see in nature, think about the beautiful butterflies and all the variety of species, or the variety of foods that we have, or the variety of cultures. I don't think that diversity in and of itself represents divine punishment at all. We don't require children to take French or Spanish as God's retribution, although there may be times when our kids might feel that way. But the fact is, we often celebrate and seek to foster greater diversity in our communities, right? That's especially true here at Florence Christian Church. Radical welcome is one of our core values that leads us to fully embrace diversity, that y'all means all. And we take that seriously, that diversity is a value. It's not a penalty. And so if that is true, there's another way to read the story of Genesis 11, not as a story of sin and punishment because of pride, but instead of humanity's desire for uniformity. The Babel story places humanity on the side of uniformity and sameness, and God on the side of multiplicity and diversity. So let's take a look again at the text to note the repetition of the word one. In verse one, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words." The word "same" here is the Hebrew word for one. Okay, and then in verse six, "And the Lord said, 'Look, they are one people and they have one language.'" Now, What are we to make of this? Well, first, God seems concerned about oneness of the people and their language. Uniformity is the problem, this unwillingness to embrace diversity. Our story teaches us that sameness is not God's intention for any of creation, including God's people. In contrast, the people are concerned about being dispersed and scattered. Why? Because they want to remain in the same place, both geographically and culturally and spiritually, safely huddled together. But here is God calling them toward variety and diversity. And so through this story, we see that God continues to create God's vision for multiple languages and cultures which are spread throughout the earth. And we have said many times before here at Florence Christian that we are diverse by design. We are diverse by design. Even though the human genome is 99.9% identical, which we've already been talking about, makes us all essentially kin to each other, right? That tiny 1% brings such a rich and vibrant and beautiful diversity that is intended to add flavor and complexity and even mystery to God's vision of creation. Sameness is not the same thing as oneness. Let me say that again. Sameness is not the same thing as oneness. So what is oneness? Because the Bible does talk about that. And Jesus prayed for it for his followers before he was crucified. So let's begin by saying that oneness does not mean that everybody is going to look alike or act alike or feel alike. No, oneness is what happens when people of diverse perspectives and cultures and communities can acknowledge that we have something to learn from each other and that we grow and become as we open ourselves to the possibility of God's kingdom within us and among us. And that means that God is still speaking, still acting, still creating. So when we've set this context for our reading to better understand what the author may have been saying to their own community thousands of years ago now, we can ask this question. What does the ancient story have to say to us this morning, if anything? If anything. And I do think we need to ask that question because, y'all, this week has been a cacophony of emotions. Amen? The results of the general election have been, for some, a reason for joy and celebration, and for others, deep lamentation. For some, this week has been a time of immense fear, and for others, a time of great hope. For some people of faith, it has been an answer to prayer. For other people of faith, it has been exactly the opposite. Cacophony. That was the word that came to me. I was trying to think of a word, and that's what came. And so as I often do when I'm trying to discern whether or not a word that pops into my brain is the right one, I looked up the definition. In addition to being defined as dissonance and an unpleasant mixture of loud sounds, the word cacophony means an incongruous or chaotic mixture, a striking combination. And that certainly can be descriptive of this moment in which we find ourselves. But then I still wasn't satisfied, and so I began to look at synonyms just to confirm what I was feeling in my gut. And that's where something happened that blew my mind. Guess what the first synonym for cacophony is? Babble. Babble. How amazing is that? Cacophony, a dissonant, chaotic mixture, is babble. And yet what happens in our story? God shakes things up, confuses their speech, and scatters them out. Why? Well, here's where I've landed for interpretation of this ancient text over this week. The story was told so that people could recognize their need, not for anybody to build a world where they can all feel, act, or believe exactly the same way. God scatters them out, not so they can put their faith in themselves, but instead put their faith and trust in God as they embrace diversity. And you know, I think that is God's word for us this morning in the midst of the cacophony, in the midst of Babel going on in our lives and in our world. It is a reminder that no one person, no one group, no one nation has the power or the authority to be God. Instead, as you and I, in all of our diversity, continue to work for justice and kindness, we are always, always, always called to this mission in a posture of humility. Humility with God and humility with one another. Yesterday, we continued a tradition that began 71 years ago. The Turkey Supper was started as a way of celebrating our community by inviting people outside of Florence Christian Church from the greater Florence area to come and to be served by our church family, a wonderful meal together. The only interruption to that outreach over the last 71 years was during COVID. But last night, we had a return to our activity center, which was new as well. We haven't done that in a few years. Returned to the activity center, and it was a beautiful opportunity for us to serve about 300 people and enjoy the diversity of our community. In addition to the great food and the fellowship, we had some giveaways at this one, including gift cards and an iPad that our elders graciously made possible through their generosity. We asked folks to give us their contact information. We really wanted that. And by the end of the evening, we had a basket full, probably a couple of hundred names. And the first giveaway was the iPad. And when Sam, who was the MC, saw the name of the recipient, this first name, he lit up. It was one of our shower guests, a beautiful young woman who is getting her life together and is scheduled to begin college in just a couple of weeks. I mean, everybody in the place just erupted in shouting hallelujah and clapping for her and encouraging her, and she was just, you know, just beaming. So we're so thankful that through this ministry of the shower ministry that we've been able to make an impact on this young woman's life and that she's moving in a direction for healing and wholeness. Praise be to God. And you know, as we think today about what we are building here at Florence Christian Church and as individual followers of the way of Jesus, I want to invite us to consider not just what we are building, but how we are building it. Not remaining in the silos of uniformity and fear, but continuing our mission to reach out to a hurting, complex, diverse, and beautiful world with God's abundant love, grace, and acceptance. For if you and I will build in this way, what we build will last. And so now I'd like to end our time together, this time of considering what God is saying to us, with a prayer. And it's something that we can do in unison if you wish. The words will be up on the screen. But join me in this prayer if you feel led to do this as we pray to God together. Come, Holy Spirit, witness to us also in our many languages. Speak in the language of our need. Let us hear how our deepest hungers, desires, and aspirations can be fulfilled by your goodness as we walk in the way of Jesus. Speak in the language of our fear. Let us hear how our worries about the future, about each other, and about ourselves can find rest in your care. Speak in the language of gratitude. Let us hear how our honest thanks relates us not only to those with whom we live, but also to you, the Lord and giver of life, and indeed to the whole world. And God, speak to us in the language of hope. Let us hear how our deepest yearning and our expectations are not just wishful thinking, but responses to your promise and to your call. And the people of God said, amen and amen.